Thursday, February 8th, 2007, Caprica Cafe. Hello and welcome to Caprica Cafe. I am
Andrew Morgan.
And as always, we have a wonderful program lined up for you today, full of many technical problems. But first, this. The fabled day has come, ladies and gentlemen. Telemarketers have reached your cell phone. That's right. Here at Caprica Cafe, our news team has been hard at work following this story, and it is only seconds old. Here is a clip from my personal cell phone.
Let you know that your home and your area has been approved for our new 1% refinance program. Now, this is something that's good for only the next 7 days. So if you'd like some additional information about this program, go ahead and press 1 on your phone right now. This 1% refinance program is something you could use to pay off some bills, take cash out of your property, or just take a vacation. Once again, if you'd like additional information about this program, simply press 1 on your telephone right now. Thank you, and have a great day.
Harold Mardelik, president of KeepOffTheFhones.com, has this response.
This sort of thing will not be stood for. People around the world need to keep their cell phones free from clutter. First, they took the text messages from us, and now they are calling us, telling us to do complicated things like pressing the buttons. No, we will not stand for this, and we will not tolerate this sort of intrusion into our pockets.
And now on to the main focus of this podcast. Now, I told you that I had a special treat for you, and that it would be coming out next week. Well, now it's 2 weeks later, and boy, do I have a special treat for you. The thing I did have lined up sounded like crap, so instead of showing you that, I'm going to show you something else. That sounds like crap. Here's an interview I had with Anthony Paz this morning. The guy got me out of bed at 8 o'clock. But for him, it was a solid 6 p.m., so he wasn't up too early. And we had a bit of a problem because I actually didn't really know how to record the Skype conversation that we had. So I went online real quick and found something to record with. And apparently it's a trial version, so after about 2-5 minutes, it decides to kind of arbitrarily introduce a heavy amount of static into the overall conversation. And it did this, and it told me about it, and it said, "Look, you motherfucker, buy this." So that's what that is. So if you can tolerate it, good for you. You get a medal. If you can't, I don't blame you. It sounds pretty shitty. So with that, on to the interview with Anthony Paz in Athens.
Oh, you're there.
Oh, hi.
Hi. I think you went away that time.
I apologize. My computer became unplugged and my battery's terrible.
Oh, no good. Where did you lose me?
I asked you how are the women, and then I right. Went off. So sorry. How are the women, Anthony?
No problem. They're let's see. Okay. Well, this gives me the opportunity to make broad generalizations.
Excellent. Excellent.
I probably should have thought about it while you were offline because I heard the question. but I didn't. But I guess, so I should preface this by saying that in Greece, like everybody, men and women included, goes out looking their best. Like, and I don't just mean like goes out, like to go out on the town, but like leaves the house. Like if you leave the house, you're wearing clothes that make you look good. So people don't go running on the streets or really even in the park very much because that's like going out in your underwear.
Oh, I see.
And you like get all sweaty and people might see you and like so you know that means all the women are always like dressed and made up to their fullest extent. But like I the neighborhood I live in is mostly like older people, families and a lot of elderly people. I'm sure the apartments are really expensive. It is a major city.
Yeah.
And I'm very near the center of it. But it's not anywhere near the nicest part of city either. But so I don't see a lot of women who are.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
Oh, what happened? Did your computer get unplugged again?
No, everything over here seemed fine.
Oh, okay. I guess it just dropped. I really should have brought my Ethernet cord.
Eh, what are you gonna do?
I don't know. Probably wasn't long enough anyway.
Yeah. I don't think I lost any of that audio.
Oh,
It just kind of paused when you went offline. It's a pretty cool application.
Yeah? What is it?
It's called Audio Hijack Pro. It's designed
Audio Hijack Pro.
Yeah, it's just designed for this kind of thing. Like, it's recording yours from the application itself, and then mine from the line in.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is really cool. But anyway, back to your question. The Greek women. I mean, I'd say that, you know, it's about the same distribution as American women, I guess.
The same American bell curve of attractiveness?
Yeah, right, yeah. I mean, there are some who are very attractive and some who aren't really. But I think, you know, it's probably skewed because everybody goes out looking, like, everybody takes care in their appearance here, men included, men and women.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, sometimes, you know, because it's such a homogenous population and there isn't the same sense of individualism here, as far as I can tell and from what I've heard from my teachers. So people aren't really that interested in like, wearing different fashions. So everybody pretty much looks like they shop at the same store. And then all the stores have pretty much the same clothing. So some things that are the fashion don't really work on some people.
I see.
but it doesn't matter because they wear it anyway.
Okay.
But yeah, but the atmosphere here, for instance, like I go out in a hooded sweatshirt and sneakers and like loose cords, and I feel pretty underdressed.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, just like to walk to school, like.
Whoa.
Yeah, so it's really different in that sense, and that might just be Athens, but I think it's probably all of the kind of areas with larger populations. I'm sure the villages are quite different.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also like. All of the Greek, well, a lot of the Greek men are like really interested in American women.
Gross.
but the Greek women just really aren't interested in us.
Huh. So, that sucks for you though.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time, man. Big time. So I'm actually at this point hoping, you know, to get more involved in church and maybe meet someone that way. All of the Catholic people are like immigrants.
Where from?
And they all speak English too. From a lot from the Philippines and a lot from Africa.
Hmm.
You know, there's some Greek Catholic population, but I haven't really seen them because I've been going to English Mass and not Greek Mass.
Oh, that would make a difference, huh?
Yeah.
And how's that? Go ahead, sorry.
Oh yeah, even so, the majority of Catholics in Greece are immigrants.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And how is the language barrier for you?
It's not as weird as I thought it would be. I mean, I thought more people would speak English, but really, like, most people don't really speak English. A lot can kind of understand it, but most people don't really speak English. I was told that like 90% of people would speak English perfectly when I came, and that is definitely not the case. I don't know what I thought it would be like to be in like to be kind of illiterate and unable to speak the language here. But even though I perceive the world in English completely, like the world is going on around me in a completely different language that I understand very little of, which is kind of cool, but like it doesn't change my perception. Like, it still seems pretty normal. And so it mostly comes down to like certain situations, like when you're trying to communicate with someone who you don't share a language, then you just find other ways to communicate. And I think those interactions for me have been really interesting and kind of fun. maybe a little scary.
Yeah. Yesterday. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't had to draw any yet. That'd be cool. yesterday, I went to a soup kitchen with a couple of other people in my program.
Nice.
To volunteer over lunch. And nobody there spoke English, except for one English woman who lives in Athens now and volunteers there. And then she left eventually. And so then it was just like me and my friends who don't speak Greek, and then everyone else who doesn't speak English. And so it was just like when I asked if, you know, they needed me to wipe the tables down, at first I thought they told me no, and then I stopped doing it, and they were like, no, no, and they like got upset, kind of. And so, but, you know, it was really great because they fed us afterward, and so they were like asking us if we wanted to eat, and we had no idea what they were saying. So but eventually, my ancient Greek actually kicked in, and I understood the word for eat, which is the same in modern Greek as it is in ancient Greek.
Oh, nice.
And pronounced almost the same way, too. So eventually I understood it. So then I said the word phago, which means I eat. And so I said phago and pointed to my mouth, and they were like, nah, 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 which means yes, yes, yes. And everyone got excited, and they fed us way too much food.
Nice!
Yeah.
Okay, in comes the static. I tried to do the best I could, but it's pretty prevalent. I apologize. Next time, I'll steal the application.
And we were trying to ask for salt. No, this is probably the funniest thing. Nobody knew the word for salt, but I knew the word for pepper, which is piper. So we wanted salt for the food. And so we kept, like, asking for things. And eventually I asked for pepper, thinking, okay, if I ask for pepper, what goes with pepper? Salt. So I asked for pepper, and they pulled out the pepper, and then they were like, oh, and here's some salt.
Nice. Good problem solving.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's really fun. You have to think creatively. I mean, it would probably be more fun to speak the language. But I'm enjoying and I'm learning a lot about just kind of being a weird anomaly, you know?
Yeah.
Because not only can they tell that I'm not Greek by the way I speak, but also by the way I dress and the fact that my eyes are blue, and that my skin is so light. And it's like, gosh, you know, I have pretty dark hair, and like, I'm as hairy as any Greek, so you'd think I could pass, but no, not here. I can't pass very easily.
That's interesting. I would think because it's Europe, you'd have an easier time simulating.
Not here. Definitely not here. Yeah, there's really, because 98% of the population is, you know, Greek, like Greek ethnically and religiously, culturally. It's really homogenous. There's a state religion here, Greek Orthodoxy. It's just so strange to be in a place where there's like a religious majority, like vast religious majority, that is sanctioned by the state. And walk down the street and see so few people who don't look Greek.
That's strange. Yeah. So coming back to the Catholic thing.
Really true.
You found a Catholic town, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a... I mean, it's a major city, even though it's Greece and there aren't that many Catholics. But it's a major city, and so there are a few Catholic churches, and then there's, like, the national, like, the, like, kind of headquarters of Catholicism in Greece is here in Athens.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, there's a cathedral here, which is, it's, you know, for a cathedral, like, a Catholic cathedral is pretty small, and most of the Catholic churches in New York are bigger. But it's pretty big, and it's pretty. It's a very pretty place, and they have English Mass every day.
Nice.
Yeah, because I imagine that there are just as many, if not more, English-speaking Catholics in Athens than there as Greek-speaking Catholics. Which is funny. But just because it's a non-native population, almost. There's a population of native Catholics, but Roman Catholics are like 0.5% of the population, and that's the largest religious group next to Orthodoxy.
Wow.
Yeah.
How is the Mass different if at all?
Pretty much everybody's Filipino. I mean, it's not something I'd experienced before. It's the same. The sermons are longer than any Mass I've been doing in the U.S. I'm imagining that's probably the more charismatic style that the Filipino population tends to occupy. It's English. There might be some variation in Greek. I don't know. I'm going to go to a Greek Mass sometime when I get a little more comfortable. But I've only been here a couple of weeks. It's the same. But except for I've never seen a church so full. Like, there's standing room only, and it's a big church. There are probably close to 600 people there. And you can't go any. You can only stand. You know, like. And there are just as many people standing as sitting. It's pretty crazy how many people show up for Mass every week. And this is not even just Christmas. So I was really surprised. That's another interesting thing, because in order to find the diversity, you have to go to like the minority. Things so like Catholic Mass, interestingly, or also the soup kitchen I worked at, very few people who came for meals were Greek, mostly African, and then I guess I have a large like Pakistani, Afghani, even Iraqi now since the war, and some Turkish population. So lots of Arabic speakers and French speakers, because a lot of French speakers coming to get food.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think the next most important question, which is entirely related, how's the beer?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think we need to talk with you about this. It's
it's not a good situation here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. This could be even worse for you. I mean, so, in Greece in general, like, they don't do anything that's, like, really bad. Like, they just don't do, like, bad food. Like, they appreciate it more, and they, like, value it. Like, it's more valuable for them. So, like, you can't find any cheap food here. It's really hard. So the beer is the same. And it's like, but all they have anywhere, pretty much, with some exceptions, which I'll get to, is Amstel, Heineken, and a beer called Kaiser, which I hadn't heard of before I came here. And that's it. Like, and then there's one Greek beer, which is comparable to Heineken, maybe a little worse, called Mythos. And you go, and it's like, and it's probably the cheapest beverage to buy is beer, cheaper than soda. No, wine is the cheapest beverage to buy. Yeah, wine. But then beer.
Wine?
The wine is pretty good. If it's not good, it's all strong. Like, all of the wine is like 12% alcohol at least. And you can get like 2 liters of it for about 2.5 euro, which is probably, I don't know, between $3 and $4. And so that's a lot of wine for not very much money that tastes reasonable, and that if you don't like it at the first sip, you'll like it after the first glass, pretty much. You'll be drunk. But the beer is similar. Like, most places you go, you find a half-liter bottle for about a euro. Actually, a lot of places are a lot more expensive. Like, sit-down restaurants tend to be really unreasonably expensive. But then, like, fast food places also sell beer for, like, a euro. And that's in half-liter bottles, which, you know, I feel it after a half-liter bottle of beer, I'll be honest. I can feel it a little bit. It's quite satisfying, even if it's not true. But there is one microbrewery in Athens.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And I went this weekend, actually.
Nice.
Because I was like, wow, this is pretty good. And it's kind of pricey. But all the beer was good. It was like all good. It wasn't. None of it was great. Because let's see, it was the first. It advertises itself as the first microbrewery in Greece. That's like its catchphrase. Called Protos, whatever the word for microbrewery is. Enemika, Enemiki, which means Greek. And it was founded in 1997, so that's how long they've been brewing beer in Greece. For not even 10 years. For 10 years, I guess. But it was fun. It was like going to America, like, because all the waiters there spoke English, and the menu was in English and Greek. And you could order beer, and like they had hamburgers and like, you know, cheese sticks. And everything American. So, except for, you know, it wasn't like, the hamburgers were weird because they kind of fell apart. It was tasty, and the beer was good, and it was a good environment, and so it was kind of like, again, like, we all noticed as we were coming out that we had forgotten that we were in Greece for a little while, so. Yeah. So it's not really the type of place that if you're studying abroad, you want to go to.
Yeah.
That often, but they do a growler to go kind of deal.
Nice.
So I'm going to start trying to get more beer from there.
Good choice.
Other places, because there's only so much Amstel you can do. Yeah. And then when I got there, my dad was like, Anthony, you gotta get some beer for Andrew and bring it back to him. And I was like, Dad, like, I tried it. He's not gonna miss it if I don't. In fact, he might be insulted if I bring it.
You brought me Amstel. It's from Greece.
But it's got Greek on the label. But I don't know. Maybe I'll bring you a Mythos, because I think you can only get it in Greece. I don't know. It's kind of a cool bottle.
It's got a good name.
Yeah, it's got a good name. I think their slogan is like, it's something like, we gave birth, like, Greece gave birth to Western civilization, but we kept one thing for ourselves. And, you know, meaning Mythos, which is, I'm glad they kept that for themselves, quite frankly. Like, thanks to Plato, you keep Mythos. the beer. But the wine I could get used to. The wine is fun and cheap. And the cool thing is, like, you can buy it everywhere. Like, the farmers markets here are great. There are these open-air things that happen, and they're really huge. They're, like, bigger than any farmer's market I've ever seen. They span, like, streets, and they happen a few times a week in different neighborhoods in Athens. And they have everything. So you can buy, like, homemade wine, homemade olive oil, pretty much every bit of produce you could want. You can buy meat and fish, and you can find, like, non-perishables, clothing and shoes and, like, kitchen goods. It's crazy. But they're really fun, and they're just like crowded, and you've got all these people yelling at each other, and I go and I have no idea what's going on, because I can't understand what people are saying very well. And like I go and I want to buy some carrots, so I like plant a carrot, and I'm like, en a kilo para calo, which means 1 kilo for you. but yeah, those are really fun.
What's a kilo?
Oh, a kilo? Okay. Or like a kilogram? Okay. Yeah, so it's about 3.2 pounds.
I thought it was monetary.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. Though actually, at the, like, the agora, most produce tends to be, like, $1 per kilo. Or a euro per kilo. Which is pretty good, I guess. I mean, it's like 2.2 pounds of carrots for 1 euro. About $1.30.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Sweet. Actually, I've just been eating so many carrots here that the webs of my fingers have turned orange.
Aw, dude, come on.
I know. I've cut back recently and I realized that's what it was. But I thought it was just carrots. And so I was like washing my hands really hard and it wouldn't come off the face. And I realized this because I'm eating like 2 carrots a day.
It's that typical freshman thing, you know, you get out of the house, you go to another country, you're exploring,
you just overdose on kilos, or on carrots, on ta carota. Oh, man. Okay, so since we're on the subject of food, which it was bound to turn to eventually, because I mean, you were talking about, the yogurt here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's like nothing else. It's like, and it's not, I mean, you know, some of it is kind of normal. I mean, all of it is better than American yogurt, pretty much. But some of it is like, I was at a hotel in a nearby like, port city that we visited last week for the program here. And the hotel had this big bowl full of this white, like, glossy stuff with, like, pools of, like, oil, that is what it looked like or something. And I was like, what the hell is that? And I was sitting right next to, like, the jam and the honey and the peaches and the marmalade. And so I thought, maybe it's like a sour cream for the peaches. So I have, like, a peaches and cream empty. So I tried it, and it, like, put that big spoon in there, and it, like, sucks the spoon in a little bit. and I bring it out, and it sounds like that sound, and put it in my bowl, and add some of the peaches. And, like, I realized when I was eating against Federer's yogurt, and it was probably like 25% milk fat or something like that. I don't know.
So you actually had to take a couple of bites before you realized what it was.
Right, yeah, because it's so different. But it's so good. The yogurt here is so good. I eat it every day for breakfast.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And with everything, like, my roommates make fun of me a little bit because I pretty much put it in all of my food. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna make a ham sandwich. That would be good with yogurt. And it is. And the nice thing about it is that because they really only sell plain yogurt, you can find some like sweet yogurt, but it's mostly plain. So, you know, if I want some in the morning, I mix a little jam in and I have some raspberry yogurt. And then in the afternoon with my sandwich, I add a little pepper. And it's like a good kind of cool complement to my sandwich. So, so if you're ever in Greece, go out of your way to eat baklava.
I will, most definitely.
Yeah. And maybe I'll, you know, maybe it'll last a year for my life. Probably not, because I bought a kilo of the 10% milk fat yogurt. But I know. I didn't know at the time. I just bought the one that said, you know, classic, you know, no, the brand is like, no, no. And the person was like, oh, that looks good. Pretty good deal. I should still get that stuff. It's not quite the 10% fat.
Yep. Still good. A little rainy today.
I like the weather. I mean, it's like -6 degrees in Massachusetts right now. Miserable. Yeah, I know. But then I was like, it's cold, it snowed today. And I'm like, that's nice. I guess it's maybe 40 or 45 after the weather.
No, not yet. My family's coming next weekend for family day.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. It'll be great. Both my parents, both my grandmother's sister and niece are all coming.
Wow.
Yeah, it's weird.
That's big family time. Jesus.
And we're going to go to the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, Monterey's a good city.
Yeah.
Good little city. Are there lots of country returns to do for the family?
I don't know really what they want to do.
Because I know with the family weekend at Amherst, like, they schedule all kinds of stuff for parents to see and talks and like, classes. And there are concerts, special concerts, and clubs happening. Yeah, it's pretty involved.
No, ours
is one of the biggest.
the formal part of it took me like 3 hours, and then I could delete.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's important for UC, UC style. Whereas my orientation is like 9 days, or like a day.
Yeah. Well, and they gotta convince your parents more than they do mine, you know.
Oh, that's true.
Paying for my,
right, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Yeah. Yeah, they definitely have to do that. Well, not my parents as much, but
yeah.
Half the parents.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you use this Skype thing much? I just installed it today.
I think I called you on from it once to your phone, and that's about all I've ever used it for.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, so you don't get random people I know you, because I did within 10 minutes. Like,
really? No, the only people on my list is you and Shane.
Oh, I don't even have Shane. Yet. Well,
I have Shane's phone with his cell phone. Because I got my Skype before it cost money to call him. So.
Right. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, you're the only Skype person I have on there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't. I have Sienna on here, but her cell phone number. I don't know how that got there. I had this before.
Oh, okay.
I must have had this. Yeah, I think I remember now. I had this before my hard drive broke. I'm sorry, just getting started.
Oh, okay. I thought it just reminded you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I listened to your last podcast. It was enjoyable.
Yeah.
I liked your mail time.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah,
it was a really weird message. It was like
full
of
Portuguese?
Happy faces and stuff. I don't know what was going on. Yeah, it was Portuguese. I thought it was Spanish at first, so I tried to translate.
Right.
It didn't work.
Uh-huh.
I
hate it when that happens.
Yeah. It was bizarre.
Yeah. Oh, good story. So, yesterday, I went up to the soup kitchen, and I went to the volunteer office to say, like, hi, I'm here, do you want to make me do anything, or tell me anything special? And, like, the woman in the office speaks English and Greek, but my the director of the program here, who told me about it, said that there's a Spanish woman who works at the place, and she speaks Greek and Spanish and French and English and all these languages. And so I'm like, cool, Spanish woman, I get to practice my Spanish. So I like go upstairs to the office, and like and the woman's name who's at the desk is Maria Rosa, which is like, okay, you're the Spanish woman, clearly, right? I mean, and so I'm like, she's like giving me paperwork to fill out that basically says I won't like see them for pay because I'm a volunteer. I thought it was really funny that I had to sign that paper. I've done a lot of volunteers and anything like that. And so I'm like, okay, well, she's Spanish. I'll speak a little Spanish. And so I started speaking Spanish. And she just looked at me like I was crazy. And you know, she was like not responding to me, so eventually I just started speaking English. And then I left, and there were three of us, and one of the other people, one of my friends in the program, who was with me, said, asked her, do you speak Spanish? And she was like, and so I was really embarrassed. It was funny. Yeah. There's lots of that kind of silliness that goes on when you're really not sure who's going to speak your language. But it's, like I said, it's fun.
Cool. And how are you getting around? Like, is the bus system pretty good?
The buses are good, and actually, the public transportation here is pretty good. It's not super expensive. It's 50 cents, which is probably close to 75 cents for a bus ride. And that'll take you guys anywhere that the bus goes. And if the bus goes pretty far, Athens is a pretty big, spread out city. with some of the people. But the buses are good. And then there's this, like, a less expensive and slightly more expensive, but much nicer and faster metro system, which I really like. Like, the metro is beautiful and, like, and it's really cool because when you go down, because as they were doing excavation for the metro, they, you know, it was Athens, so they encountered a lot of ancient artifacts and sites and stuff like that. And so when you go down into the metro, you can see, like, they have these display cases of a couple thousand-year-old pots. They have ancient sewers they found down there. So it's really cool. It was like going to a museum, except for you just taking the metro to the port. But yeah, the transportation is pretty good. And actually, it's a really, like, it's a really walkable city, especially from where I live. Most people live in apartments that are kind of far away from the city center, but our apartment is pretty far away from school. So it's like, takes like 20 minutes to walk to school every day. But we're a lot closer to the city center, so which I like more than being close to school. It's really pretty nice, and it's a relatively safe city. But the traffic here, the traffic. I don't think that there are any traffic laws in Greece. Like, if there are, I haven't seen any evidence to convince me otherwise. It's crazy. I mean, you should see the way they park. Like, they park everywhere. On corners, like, kind of diagonal on the corner. Like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I couldn't believe it. And you often can't really get off the sidewalk because the cars are all boxing each other in. And they're all tiny cars because they have much stricter emission standards in the European Union. Nobody really has a big car. And also, gas is expensive, so you don't want a big car.
Right.
There are just, like, tons of these tiny cars, like, boxing each other in, so there's no space. And so, like, you're on the sidewalk, and you have to search to find a large enough space to fit in between two cars that you can get off the sidewalk and cross the street.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. And lots of people have little motorcycles and, mopeds, like Vespas and stuff. Like, tons of people have those, and they, like, consistently run red lights, like, in the middle of the red light, when you're trying to cross the street, like, you never know if a motorcycle is just going to come, and they don't wait, nobody waits for pedestrians, ever. It's not really done. So, pretty cool.
You know? Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah. So, I wouldn't want to drive here, but it's not that far, and there are lots of, like, bakeries, like, on every corner, where you can buy bread, baklava, and pita, and kielbasa, which is, like, so they, like, pretty much every food that you can, every ingredient you can think of, they will add old pizza to the end, and that means they put it in a pie. So, like, spinach is spanaki, and so they say spanakopita, which means spinach pie. And it's really good. It's really good. Really good. They use, like, the filo dough, you know, and they have, like, layers of, like, thick, like, cheesy spinach, and then, like, people don't. It's delicious, but, like, and you can find, like, my favorite is, like, Zambono Tiropita, which means ham cheese pie.
That's disgusting.
No, it's delicious. It's actually really good. I mean, if you eat ham, which I guess you don't. But no, it's good. It's good. And yeah, it'll just have like straight up cheese. You know, I actually tried to make it the other week. It came out okay.
Cheese?
No, not cheese. Cheese pie, cheddar pie.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, so you like take the cheese and add a little milk, egg, and spread it on the filo dough and then bake it all up. And you have like this flaky pastry stuff. And it's funny. It's funny. Yeah, the cheese here is another good thing. Definitely. They definitely care a lot more about the cheese, and there are a lot of different, like, subtle varieties. Whereas, you know, usually you can just find, like, there's Jack, mozzarella, which is American. Like, they have, like a billion different kinds of feta, and they're all, like, subtly different. And so I'm sort of, like, exploring, like, different ones, because I can't really read the labels. Like, I don't really know what kind of cheese. Like, I can read them, so I can, like, pronounce the words, but I don't really know what they mean. And so I, like, look at it, and I'm like, well, I guess I'll try this one this week. And try it, and eat it, and then I'm like, ooh, I don't like that. That's too strong, or, but the cheese, yeah, I can definitely get used to the cheese. Definitely. You don't like olives, do you?
No, I like olives. I've acquired
them. Oh, you've acquired a taste for olives? Yeah, they're quite the olives here are amazing.
I hope so.
I mean, they have olive trees, like my trees here.
That's so cool.
Also, orange trees. Like, right now, you walk outside and you walk down the street and you'll see like 10 orange trees with big, ripe oranges on them, like on public property.
Nice.
Yeah, really cool. You can just pick them. So, actually, some of them are a type of citrus that looks like an orange, but it's bitter. And it's only really used to cook with. You can't just eat bitter. Although, they call it I don't know if it has a name in English, but it's just called a naranja. Yeah, I haven't either. I mean, it kind of reminded me of the Spanish word for orange, naranja.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I don't know if they're related. They probably are. There's a lot of stuff like that.
It's a lot like America here. Because very, especially in Athens, I'm sure once I get to the island, which I'm going to visit soon, I hope, it'll feel quite different. But here in the city, it's a modern Western city. And so it's mostly the subtle differences that stand out to me. Like the fact that the sidewalks are made of like random stuff. In some places they're made of marble, and in some places they're made of like just bumpy yellow plastic tiles. Like, doesn't make any sense. And everything is really slippery whenever it rains. It sucks. I slipped a couple of times and almost fallen. Luckily, I haven't fallen.
It's a good place. I'd recommend doing it. I have only been here for 2 weeks. But I still have a lot of good places to see. But it's a really nice place.
How much longer are you going to be there?
I'll be here until the middle of May, so it'll be 4.5 months.
Okay.
And I'll study that.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like a pretty good amount of time.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll be able to travel outside the country a little bit, but I figure I'm here, I may as well travel here as much as possible. But I want to try to get to Rome, and my roommate and then another guy in another apartment are right now tentative,
hush hush, so I'm kind of announcing that. Thinking about trying to go to Israel. Which would be really cool.
That would be cool.
Really cool.
Kind of
illegal.
Yeah.
My visa says that I'm only allowed one entry into the country.
Oh.
And I've already used it.
So you might not be able to
do that. I mean, there's a small chance. Like, most of the time, they don't have any problems with Americans coming to their country and spending money. Like,
sure, yeah.
It's really not a problem. But if you get a particularly rule-minded person at the passport place, then you might have a problem. But usually it's fine. Like, whatever, like, 90% of the time, nobody can do this. But people have in the past been between multiple stages.
Cool.
Yeah.
So bring an extra, like, 300 euros if you just need to bribe somebody, I guess.
Yeah, right, exactly. Especially, yeah. No, seriously. Like, everybody here, like, everything here is, like, it's almost like the patronal system of Rome. Like you do everything through connection. Like, you know somebody in an office somewhere. Like, that's just from what I can tell from talking to teachers and our program director. That's just how things work. Like, you better talk to someone who knows somebody in order to get something that you want done. So, like, we were rushed through the passport line when we got off the plane here because I took a group flight from New York with a bunch of other people on the plane. And because, like, one of the teachers here knows one of the security guards at the airport, we were able to get a special, like, line open just for us to go through quickly. Which I think sucks for everybody else who's waiting.
Yeah.
And you at every, who had the same right to come.
That's very not American.
Right, yeah, too much. Like, in America, it's like, you've got this weird idea of, this is fair, you know?
Right.
Everybody can do it. I mean, there are just as many crappy problems in America, like, with things not being fair. Maybe more, I don't know. But at least people here have help.
Please.
Hey, anyone running for president, hear that? But no, I'm having a really good time. All of my roommates are really cool. Yeah, they're all really cool people. And they all like to cook and eat good food. And my roommate, my little street girl's in the guy, and I share a room with the guy. And he's nice and pretty. But he's like Orthodox Christian. And I've never really known an Orthodox Christian before very well. So it's really interesting. And it's like, I've known a lot of Protestants, and so I'm pretty familiar with that kind of new perspective of Christianity. But Orthodoxy, don't know a lot about. And it's really cool to get to know him and hear what that's all about and his relationship with it. Because his relationship with it seems to be pretty similar to my relationship with Catholicism. Like, I like it, but at the same time, like, there's all of this crap and conservatism that bugs the hell out of me from time to time, as I'm sure you can imagine. and so we have good conversations about that. So I'm having a really good time and learning a lot. My classes are all really great, and learning to cook better, like learning a new language, which is fun. And my classes are easier, but they're still really interesting. And I get to travel a little bit, and I can have like a glass of wine every night. And I don't know. It's just right now, things are really good over here. So anyone who's thinking about studying abroad, at this point, I recommend it. So, yeah.
Great.
Are you thinking about studying abroad still?
Well, I'd like to.
Yeah, I should.
Legal restrictions keeping you from leaving the country.
Damn it. And the man.
Yeah. You know, I'll see what happens.
If they need, like, a letter of recommendation, I'd write one for you.
Thanks.
I'm sure it would be worth a lot.
Here is Captain Anthony Parr. Please see if you can ask me.
That's right. Well, if you can get around that, do it. Is anyone else thinking about it? Like, I know, I know we have a mutual friend who is considering going to Ireland.
Yes,
and,
I do know.
And actually considering not going to Ireland.
Indeed.
And so anyone who's considering or not considering going to Ireland.
Whoever that may be.
Whoever that may or may not be, you know, I'd recommend it. Just putting that out there in case there is anyone like that. Mind this particular program. Oh, also, you know, anyone who wants a postcard, let me know. I'm gonna get on that sometime. Send some postcards.
Nice.
Things here are pretty and there are lots of good pictures. I'll tell you about some funny postcards I saw. There are, like, pictures of on postcards from Grecian urns, like the old cool, like, urns. And there are some of, like, a guy having sex with another guy, and a guy having sex with a woman, and they're just, like, sitting on the postcard. And then there's one that I thought was particularly silly of a hill, like a big kind of mountain-looking thing that comes up and kind of has like a rounded, you know, conular point at the top, and then right, like, superimposed next to it is a bare breast, like from the profile, and what it is like the whoever designed the postcard wanted to emphasize the breast-like quality of this particular mountain. It's so stupid, but really funny. Like, the fact that they get away with selling that at every tourist stop here is quite amazing to me. So, you know, if anyone's looking for a bare breast postcard, I can hook that up. But I should actually get going.
Yeah, I gotta go to school.
That's okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's like school time over there.
Yeah, it's 10:12. What time is over there?
8:12.
Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. One last question before you go. Catch the Super Bowl?
No.
Did anyone?
Yes, actually, no. There were a couple of places in Athens where you could watch it.
Huh.
And one of them was the Hard Rock Cafe.
Oh, God.
And a couple of guys went and, like, drank a bunch of absinthe and went to the Hard Rock Cafe and watched the Super Bowl. And evidently, the only people who were there were Americans. Like, it was
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So they did. And so, like, Carl, congratulations.
Yeah.
I'm pleased for you.
Yeah.
Carl, I love you. Good for you. Good job.
Yeah, good job, Carl. Way to go.
Way to go. Proud of you.
And all you've done. Joining those Facebook groups.
Changing your profile picture. Going on tirades. Yes.
Yes.
Colts. But the funny thing, I thought it was funny, was that everyone who went to the Super Bowl was really upset because they didn't get any of the commercials here.
Oh.
In between plays, every place there would have been a commercial break, they just, like, saw a shot of the field.
How bizarre.
Isn't that funny? I thought it was funny.
I heard they were terrible, so you can tell you something.
Oh, really? Okay. Good.
Cool.
Okay. Well, have a good day at school. Good talking to you.
Yeah. Thank you very much for doing this. We should do it again before we leave, for sure.
Okay, yeah.
We should get an update.
We'll get like a reflection. something.
Yes. So next time we'll get you by a fire with a pipe.
It'll be a fireside chat, like FDR.
Yeah, exactly. Good.
Good. I'm FDR. FDR, saving you. Good evening and good night.
I'd vote for you.
Stay classy, America.
If you're still listening, you deserve a medal. That's about it for Caprica Cafe. Caprica Cafe is released under the Creative Commons license. To find out more, go to creativecommons.org. And do as Anthony says, stay classy.